I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for July 15th, 2019 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Campbell, here. Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanam?
Here.
Mrs. Hoffman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. I welcome all of you to our City Council tonight. There are agendas on the two side tables if you'd like to follow the agenda. It is a long agenda tonight. If you have questions or particular issues you would like to address during the course of the meeting, please let me know by raising your hand and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Capellini.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda, I do have a couple items to add. First, I'd like to add as 4A, we're privileged to have four of our residents here from the Quarryside subdivision. They would like to talk to us a little bit about the paintball and the noise problem they are having from the newly annexed neighbors in the town, from the township Funnigans. I would also like to take you to the end of the agenda. You all got an email adding an ordinance to hire TTL Associates to help with the tire store environmental study that we're working to finalize a state grant on. I'd like to make that agenda item 18. And we will assign whatever number the last agenda item is as the executive session. Mrs. Westphal.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanam.
Yes, I'd like to add consideration of ordinance number 44-2019 after the report.
Is that the one that was researched in the safety committee?
Right.
I think that'll come out of safety committee. It is our intent to add it. It'll be a part of the agenda there. That's part of the report. I think the clerk has brought us copies of that and they're sitting next to her to distribute.
Okay, well.
We want to make sure we have the latest ordinance. This is a rare ordinance not prepared by the law department, so we're not sure that we have the latest.
Okay, well, we've had three readings on it. We'll just
had two readings. Tonight will be the third.
Okay, so I'd like to add a third reading.
We'll take that motion out of the safety when we get there. And what was the number of that ordinance again? 44, is it?
Yes.
44-2019.
Right.
Okay.
And
very
we
good.
Do that as A1 or whatever. And also, I'd like to add at the add somewhere a update on the proposed consolidation of dispatch, the countywide consolidation of dispatch.
Let's make that 17A. Not that you should refer it to committee, but I can tell you where we're at. So that is consolidated 911 service. Dispatch service, excuse me. 17A. Any additional items from members of City Council? Hearing none, Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snorr?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Kevin Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of the amended agenda indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved for this evening's meeting. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on June 17th. Mrs. Westphal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the June 17th, 2019 meeting minutes from the City of Sylvania Council meeting.
Second. Moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from June 17th, 2019 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the meeting minutes are approved. Added agenda item 4A to hear from the residents of Quarryside. You're welcome, if to step up to the podium, either one or all of you. Please identify yourself. Just give us a street address for the record, and then proceed.
Mayor, for this opportunity again, this is my Paul Hale, president of the trustees.
Yes, sir.
Homeowners Association. And my address is 3327 Quarry Side. Just wanted to make a quick note, since 3 weeks since the last meeting, our situation has not been very, we have additional police reports, and we have additional report, complaint about the noise, which was so bad, it was vibrating the ladies' balls. So we do have that. I just was hoping I could get some kind of update from law or police.
Let's hear that. Let's start with Chief Snore, since our police reports talk about, and then we'll move on to legal position from Mrs. Briney.
The information, I mean, it's consistent with what we've been, you know, tracking for the last 6 months as far as the complaints about paintballs coming onto the property and sporadic noise complaints. I've conferred some with the law department, but I'm basically waiting for a final determination about the app, you know, with advice from the law department.
But you have dispatched officers to the area.
Anytime there's a call and a request, we have spoken with some of the residents, and you know, we're very well aware of the problem. I don't know that we always need to file an additional police report. We have a lot of documentation on the situation. Unless there's a conflict between, you know, a direct conflict between the residents, we are not engaging either side, waiting for more information from the law department on a long-term solution. Given this is, you know, it is a zoning issue, it is also a quality of life issue for the neighbors, as we're well aware.
When your officers have arrived, have they ever had to take action to stop the paintballs or to lower the sound, the level of the sound?
We have talked with the property owner about the sound. At least one or two times we've actually engaged them. I had proposed doing some sound testing in the neighborhood with a couple of our officers out in the neighborhood and an officer at the site. I'm waiting again for clearance from the law department on exactly what the steps would be for a long-term solution. Unless we observe a direct criminal violation, we're documenting at this point.
Thank you. Mrs. Briney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last week I did not talk to, I exchanged emails with Margaret Beck, the Funnigan's attorney. She indicated that Jason has the network and software for the video cameras that we talked to them about installed, and they are working on getting the cameras installed. So that's phase one. We also talked with them, and I updated you at the last council meeting about getting the waiver language added to include the provision in the codified ordinances against air firing the air rifles. That she was going to get me a copy of. She had not seen that additional language yet. So that's, we're making progress, although I know it's slow.
Give us your vision for how to address these two separate issues, the paintballs and the music. Where are we going to, when is Chief Snore going to need, going to have what he thinks he needs?
Right, the noise is really, I know that we did discuss possibly putting officers out there with Mr. Aller, but I think the few times that have been observed, it hasn't necessarily risen to the level that is a violation of the noise ordinance. So that, I think, is secondary. I think the most pressing issue is the paintballs, and once the cameras are installed, that will hopefully be a deterrent. Yeah, and at least if not a deterrent, then we'll be able to see what's causing the paintballs to get over the fence, and then we can address that issue. But and I know our next council meeting isn't until the 19th, so you have my contact. Feel free to call me directly in the meantime, and I have your address. I don't believe I have your phone number, but I will be happy to provide you updates as soon as I hear back from Mrs. Beck. Okay, that'll be great. You don't have to do it on the record. But I will provide you an update as soon as I hear back from Margaret Beck on the video camera installation.
Mrs. Briney, we need to press the issue.
Yes.
it's been sitting long enough. We need to get the cameras installed, if that is indeed going to give us some evidence of what's going on. I can't justify having police officers over there waiting for something to happen. Getting over there to respond is a good thing, and let's hope that a paintball does not hit a police officer. That would really be a problem, I think. It would stop them.
I have a question. So, I mean, when they play paintball, they're wearing like hoods and hats and...
I saw a picture in the media someplace today, I think.
Because you don't want to get paint on you, so, all right, they're going to install cameras, but then you're going to see a guy in a hood and a hat.
Well, I think there, but I think there has also been a little bit of disagreement on how the paintballs are getting over the fence, getting over the netting that is up. I think some people feel that they're just, whatever paintballs they have left, they're just shooting in the air, and that's what's happening. The Funnigan's property owners think that there's some glancing off of some of the obstacles, which is causing it to, causing them to get over the netting. So I think once we have the video footage, that will at least tell us, show us how they're getting over the fence, which will be helpful. It's not, certainly we're not, our long-term goal isn't to prosecute the people that are shooting the paintballs. If we have to, so identifying who is there is not the primary goal. I think what we want to do is to be able to show the Funnigan's owners how they are getting over the fencing.
Stop the problem.
Right, right.
Hold the owner responsible for stopping the problem.
Right.
If you don't mind, I'd just say one thing.
Sure.
This weekend we had paintballs over our house, which backs up to the property, across the street, and the back patio of the homes across the street.
That's not deflecting. That's somebody seeing how far it can go.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I think having that footage will be helpful for them as well. But I agree. It is, the progress has been at a glacial pace. I completely understand.
Leslie, we have plenty of ordinance to deal with this, right? So
yes.
So if they can't fix this,
mm-hmm.
We can enforce our
code. Right, we can definitely, yes.
Okay, and they understand that.
Yes.
Because the code's there for a reason, obviously.
Right.
And they need to take measures.
Right.
To address it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What if we just fight them right now? I mean, because they're going over, right?
The section in the code that deals with the projection of the paintballs is in our general offenses, so we have, that has to be a person. It's not a business-related offense.
Do we need legislation to clarify that?
I don't believe so at this point. I think we can get there with what we have in place. Certainly, and our zoning code also could provide some additional help, but we've been trying to address it this way in a more collegial manner.
Okay.
Do we need to get ahead with our zoning code? No,
I think we're in a good place as far as our code is concerned. We have several options for enforcement there. And they are aware of them, and they are not disagreeing with us. It's just that their compliance has been slower than
is this appropriate, and maybe we're already doing it, but I understand that our officers are going out and taking police reports from the neighbors, right? Wait a minute. Let me finish. Do they then go over to Funnigan's and tell them that they just took a report? Do we have any visible presence of our officers?
We do. But once it got to 20, some 30, then it's becoming, you know, an issue back and forth, and we're the methodology here was to not cause to escalate the conflict. But both sides know what the problem is. It's trying to come up with a long-term solution.
So you don't think they're playing us?
I don't. I don't think so. I think they have taken some steps. I know that they are frustratingly slow.
I wish that we had compliance, but I don't think that, I think that they are moving forward and trying to, they are installing cameras, which is big, you know.
Well, wait.
When was the first police report? Like, how long has this been going on?
Longer than I've been in office, probably 9 months, two and a half, well, it's been an issue that I've known about for 9 months.
Okay.
Right, that was, it was only in the city for, since December.
It didn't violate the township zoning, right?
No.
It just, so it wasn't until they were, when we annexed them?
Correct.
Was, as part of the Mayberry deal, or?
Yes.
Okay, so, do they have a grandfathering issue?
No, they haven't done any, they're illegal non-conforming use currently. Because they have not done any.
Well, they ought to be more eager to get this fixed, or, because they don't have a right to do this.
Right.
And they're doing it at our, indulgence.
The fact that it has gone and gotten worse since our previous meeting is a problem. That needs to be explained to their attorney, that we can't, we won't tolerate that, we need progress made now.
I have a question, is, are the speakers that we're trying, when we do the noise thing, are they on the outside of the building, are they projecting noise out, or is this just emanating from inside speakers?
I believe they are inside for the.
They are inside the new, roller skate.
And there's, oh, the roller skate, yeah.
It's what we hear, boom.
The bass, they just need to change the bass.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
And I think one thing that has, while it may be a nuisance, I have visited the site late in the evenings two times now, and neither of those times would I have considered that at a complaint level. Now, I wasn't there on the night that the complaints were made, but I assume that it's essentially the same, you know, on any given night. And, you know, that area is zoned industrial, so if you imagine if you had some sort of stamping or anything of that nature going on, it's going to make some noise. So the times that I've been there, I would not, had a complaint been made on those evenings, I would not have considered that worthy of a complaint. So that's the thing. It's, while it may be bothersome to area residents, it may not be at a level that is putting the business in a poor fashion.
We agree with you. It's annoying. It's when it's late. It was 11:30 this weekend, and nobody was trying to sleep. The resident was trying to sleep. It was too early.
And as far as the noise,
now that,
you know, I think, you know, I would be willing to, you know, have some of my staff and try to mediate that by, again, going out to the neighborhood, maybe even to the homes, having an officer there with his radio. Okay, go ahead and try the sound, and then maybe they would agree to set the sound at a certain maximum level and keep it there so that we can avoid future complaints. I think that might be a workable solution, but I've, you know, been waiting for the green light.
Well,
we might be able to trade a designated noise level for just a continued existence. I mean, we could fix both.
Thank you for making the effort to come into council meeting tonight to express your frustration.
Mr. Mayor, this wasn't the only reason we came.
Oh. Well, you're very welcome to. As you can see, we have a long agenda. All right. We're going to move on to agenda item 5. Agenda item 5 is made up of 3 annual assessment ordinances, one for tree maintenance, one for ditch maintenance, and one for street lighting. These are annual ordinances. Tree maintenance and street lighting remain the same, and as City Council is very aware, the one for ditch maintenance has changed quite a bit in the way that we are assessing it. We are not increasing these assessments. These are continuing on. Mr. Allen, are you going to get further comments about that?
not really, Mr. Mayor, unless there are any questions. I don't,
sure.
I don't have anything to add. I think we talked about the stormwater for the ditch maintenance fee extensively, and the other charges are the same as they've always been.
Very good. Well, we'll start with Ordinance 55-2019, which is assessing a special tax for tree maintenance. Mrs. Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 55-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. To assess a special tax upon the lots and lands described in the schedule referred to herein, to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the removal and special treatment of shade trees for the purpose of controlling blight and disease of same, and for planting, maintaining, trimming, and removing shade trees in and along the streets and within the public right-of-way of the city for the year ending December 31st, 2019. Waiving a second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 55-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you. I'd like to move final passage of Ordinance Number 55-2019.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 55-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 55-2019 is approved. Next is Agenda Item 5B, Ordinance 56-2019. This is for ditch maintenance. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 56-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. To assess a special tax upon the lots and lands described in the schedule referred to herein, to pay a part of the cost and expense of providing for the construction, maintenance, repair, cleaning, and enclosing open drainage ditches within the corporate limits of the City of Sylvania for the year ending December 31st, 2019, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 56-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me. I move final passage of Ordinance Number 56-2019.
Second.
Been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 56-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 56-2019 is approved. Now
and
to Agenda
Mr. Mayor, I just want to remind people who weren't here, this was a significant change brought to us by Mr. Aller and his in the service department, and it's a really good change and more fairly assesses the cost of our stormwater program. Appreciate Kevin's effort in bringing it to us.
Thank you for your comments. Moving on to Agenda Item 5C, Ordinance 57-2019. This is a special tax to provide for street lighting. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 57-2019. All members of Council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Ordinance approving the assessment heretofore authorizing by Resolution Number 6-2019 for street lighting, levying said assessments, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 57-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 57-2019.
Second.
It is moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 57-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 57-2019 is approved. Agenda Item 6, Brookhill Court, if you've been by, is finished. It was a very efficiently and timely completed project. It completes those three courts on the north side of Ravine Drive. But we do have a final change order for you tonight. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the course of the project, we did a large area of where we knew we had bad soils was actually even larger and worse. It actually went deeper than what we had originally planned. And so we made a modification to the design of that section, and that caused us to use a different type of stone, an alternate stone, and that was not part of the original bid. And so that added some cost to the project. We also had our normal quantity adjustments and unit price adjustments that we typically have in any project. The total cost of the change order is $10,403.79. The original contract was $141,897. So this change order brings the project to completion at a cost of $152,300.79. And the project is complete. Approximately 34% of this project was paid for through OPWC funds as a joint project with our Main Street project. So we do recommend approval of the change order.
And this was the last of those three cul-de-sacs. All were cast in place squares that were quite old. There must have been a lot of fill that went in there because all of them were very offset, very cracked. We had had trouble addressing these in the past until Mr. Aller creatively added these into better scoring projects so that we could spread the grant funds into these three projects, one per year. Mr. Richardson, you're going to be busy here for a little while, but you have Ordinance 58-2019.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce Ordinance Number 58-2019. All members of council, having previously received copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to approve Change Order Number 1, final to this city's agreement with Ed Kelly and Sons, Inc. for the Brook Hill Court Improvements Project, which reflects the actual work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $10,403.79, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. Been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 58-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 58-2019.
Is moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 58-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 58-2019 is approved. Agenda item 7 is to begin work to apply in their program to replace the Silica Road Bridge over 10 Mile Creek just north of Northview High School. That's an old bridge. We looked at it for several years. There is currently a separate pedestrian bridge on the west side of that. We've done some work on that in the past, but now the state is stepping in and not only doing inspections, but also giving us the potential to apply for grant funds. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. yes, in this year's round of inspections, for those of you that aren't aware, every bridge in the city, and actually every bridge in the state of Ohio, gets inspected on an annual basis. And there's a set of criteria that is used to rank those bridges as to their condition. The bridge on Silica Road this year fell to a ranking of 4, from 5 to 4, which puts it eligible for municipal bridge funding. We did a study that council authorized earlier this year in February, and the result of that study was to eliminate the two separate bridges and combine them into one structure for heading into the future. The municipal bridge program allows for municipalities to get 95% of the construction costs. We do have to pay for any design costs or inspection costs or things of that nature. But the construction cost, the municipal bridge program will cover 95% of that. And so we would be responsible for 5%. The total cost of the project that we're pursuing is $1,539,022. We would be pursuing through the municipal bridge program $1,209,333. In the future, as timing is appropriate, we'll also be applying for Ohio Public Works Commission funds and that's the primary source, but we'll also be able to receive funding through that program. We're anticipating that our final contribution to the project will be approximately $154,000 of the original $1.5 million project. This project is tentatively scheduled for the year 2023. We are pretty confident with this application that we will receive funding, and we recommend moving forward.
Mr. Aller, the bridge in question obviously feeds a lot of traffic into Northview High School. While I know it's very preliminary, would you anticipate that the construction could be completed during the time when the school is not in session?
Yeah, it would be our plan to basically take that bridge out of service the day school ends and be able to have that open up by the time school starts. The type of construction is that came into play. We looked at about 7 different types of bridge construction, and part of the selection of this process with the concrete beams and that was so that we could accommodate a faster construction schedule.
Great, thank you.
I have 2 questions. So the first one is about, will it be safe for a bike lane or for bikers, or will the biker have to be on the sidewalk?
We're taking a look at the pedestrian section and making that a 10-foot pedestrian section, and so that it would fit the definition of a multi-use path, because then it could come into play with our bike network through the other parts. Yes.
So one more question. So we named it after an art teacher. Is there any way it's going to look kind of special? And I mean, if the Arts Commission took some kind of lead, maybe it's mirror. I don't know what it is exactly, but is there a point in time where it would be appropriate for the Arts Commission or somebody to talk about adding some special touch to it so it looks good enough to be named after an art teacher?
We can take a look at that. We'll be somewhat limited just because of the municipal bridge program. Anything that would be beyond normal, much like the Monroe Street Bridge mm-hmm. over US 23, anything beyond normal would be a city cost or some other function cost. So that's something we could take a look at. We have already made sure that our consultant is aware that we would want to be able to maintain flower baskets or some sort of aesthetic addition. So,
what time frame would be appropriate if the Arts Commission or somebody wanted to get involved? I mean, I don't want them to miss the window, but I don't want them to be annoying too early.
I think, you know, we should receive notice later this year as to whether we were successful or not. And I anticipate that we will be. But the actual final design probably won't get started until mid to late 2020.
Okay.
So we have time to be able to talk with them and meet with them. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Our opportunities would be piers at each end of the bridge. We might be able to do something, or the railings, do something special.
Right.
That gives it more character than a typical standard ODOT bridge.
The piers are one thing that one of the aesthetic compliments that was talked about with the consultant. We talked about even doing some bump outs, but because we already have, because we're taking a look at the 10-foot wide mm-hmm. Multi-use path, plus the width of the bridge, going to bump outs really widens that footprint and adds quite a bit of cost. So we backed off of the bump outs. But yeah, there may be some other things that we could do.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Okay, the action needed tonight is to authorize the city to file a grant application with the ODOT Municipal Bridge Program. Mr. Richardson, you have proposed Resolution 8, 2019.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce Resolution 8, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to file a grant application with the Ohio Department of Transportation Municipal Bridge Program for the Silica Drive over 10 Mile Creek Bridge Replacement Project, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that Resolution Number 8, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Resolution Number 8, 2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 8, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 8, 2019 is approved. You folks might be interested. I've already explained it to the student in the back, but others in the room might be interested why we take two motions on items. Our city charter requires all ordinances to be read in their entirety three times. That would take quite a while. The resolutions are usually two pages, so by voice vote majority, we can read by title only and waive the second and third readings. The second motion is to pass it in one night. If we have five or more members of council voting for it, a strong majority, then it can pass in one night. Otherwise, it'll be back two more times. That's why we take the time for two motions. All right, moving on to agenda item eight, Alexis Road Safety Program. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This project, at one time, if you remember during the study, it proposed, took a look at a couple different options. One was meeting sections in Alexis Road between the north and south sides, and that was, you know, community and council public opinion was that they weren't too fond of those, and so we modified this project so that it's a signal improvement as well as a right turn. There will be a right turn lane put on southbound Acres at Alexis. So it enables that movement and will keep the left turn traffic by itself. It will have its own lane, and that therefore won't back up any of the traffic that wants to go south or west. This project was also a project that we applied for safety improvement funds. The total cost of the project is $569,800. Our share of the project will be $148,148. This project was included in this year's capital improvement budget, and the funds have been appropriated in the proper capital improvement fund there. And ODOT is just asking that we forward our share of the project to them so that this project can get moving. It will be advertising and bidding yet this year in August to September, and we are anticipating construction to start in April of next year.
I'm sure you all remember the process we went through with the local business owners not to put in those center islands that you cannot cross over like they have at Holland, Sylvania, and Central, or if you go over to City of Oregon on Navarre, right by St. Charles Hospital, you just can't turn. You have to do U-turns after you go past them. Our consultant and ODOT agreed that the traffic light improvements will make a significant safety improvement not to have those left turn accidents, either going across traffic or rear enders of people waiting to turn across traffic. So that's what this project is about. Mr. Richardson.
Yeah, I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, we have this US 23 and Monroe Street interchange improvement stuff coming up here. Won't that eliminate these improvements?
It won't eliminate them. The right-hand turn lane at Acres would still be a needed improvement there. What we have has
so there'll be two lanes on Acres, right?
Correct. Yes, there'll be a if when the interchange improvements were to occur, there would only be right turn, left turn off of Acres, southbound Acres.
There will be a left turn because that
yes.
Drawing looks like there's a solid wall there.
Ultimately, there will be. Yes.
There will be a left-hand turn.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No,
the left-hand traffic will be redirected to Elliott Drive.
Right.
I apologize. Yes.
So we'll have a right turn in and a right turn out, and those will be separate? Is that?
Yes. Yes. There is some discussion with ODOT, and I was going to talk about that when we get to the US 23 Monroe. There is some discussion with ODOT on perhaps reducing the scope of this project because of the interchange project. So, but because it's in what they call their Ellis system, they're required with their funding to move forward with the advertising and bidding. And hopefully in that meantime, we will get some word as to our success on some of these grants.
we get their $400,000 and apply it to our $2.8 million?
That's part of the discussion.
That's the discussion, okay.
Discussion, yeah.
Great, thank you.
Following on with that question, Mr. Hanum, we just opened our new River Trail Phase Two, and it comes up right with those ramps that are being eliminated. It's my understanding that our River Trail will stay at the same location, not follow the new exit ramp off of 23 North.
That's correct.
Yep, okay. All right. Mr. Richardson, ordinance 59, 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce ordinance 59, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance of the city of Sylvania, Ohio to enter into an agreement between the state of Ohio Department of Transportation and the city of Sylvania for the Alexis Road at Elliott and Acres Road intersection improvement project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $148,148, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 59, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 59, 2019.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 59, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 59, 2019 is approved. Mr. Aller, my compliments to you for all the work you are doing for bringing, leveraging our limited funds and bringing in these ODOTs and other Ohio funds and working with the Lucas County engineer to get it done. This is a level of programs we could not afford to do on our own. And when we get to the next page here, you're going to really see that in action for $20 million. We'll see where it goes. The outcome is still unsure, but we have to make the applications. And more than that, the service department, both the service director and the deputy service director, are doing the contact, the personal contact work with ODOT and the county engineer necessary to get their approval and their input and respond to what they want to give these a better chance of success. That's the way you got to follow through. You can't just type up the forms and send them in. Okay, I would like to move on to the next one, which is agenda item 9. This is Monroe Street and Arun Road Improvement Project. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This project was originally part of a study taken on by the Federal Highway Administration and administered by ODOT. Took a look at 6 area intersections with high incidence of crashes. Our intersection and the proposed improvements to that intersection was chosen as a project to move forward with, and this is the beginning of the final design of that project. The project was initially going to be an ODOT administered project, and basically we would have, just as we did with the Alexis safety project a little bit ago, we would have just sent our share of the project from a dollar standpoint. When we constructed and moved forward with the Main Street project, that was a local LET project, a local public authority project. And that project went so well and so smooth. Some of the other local LET projects have not gone as well for ODOT. ODOT came to us with this project and asked us if we would make this a local LET project and take it off of their plate because of their other project load. We agreed to do that, and so we will be taking over the coordination of this project rather than ODOT doing it. The total cost for the engineering, we've included the if authorized tasks. That way, if they, we don't believe that they will be needed, but that way, if they are, we are set to go. We're not losing time for those types of services. it is some cultural environmental engineering services that is primarily DDF authorized. We don't believe that that's going to be an issue in this project, but it's better to include it, especially with a ODOT project.
What's cultural or environmental?
Cultural environmental, any buried arrowheads, any things like that. in this area, Arrowheads is the typical one that
okay.
will get you in trouble.
Thank you.
So we don't anticipate those. The total cost of the engineering is $276,373. This project is also a 90-10 project, so 90% of the funds will be coming from ODOT, and so the city's portion will be $44,387.30. But again, because it's a local let project, we will pay all of the funds and then get reimbursed from ODOT. So we're asking you to approve the proposal in the amount of $276,373, and then we will get reimbursed from ODOT.
What's the construction cost estimate, Mr. Allen?
The construction cost is about $1.8 million.
And I would like to say, just because we are taking over local administration of the project, that does not allow us to change the state's guidelines necessary to receive the funds.
No.
We cannot take on local jurisdiction of the design outcome. And this is not a popular project currently with Toledo Memorial Park. We continue to work with them. The issue is their east driveway. It will still be an access driveway, but not allow left turns onto eastbound Monroe Street. That is current. Well, I don't know what the status of your contact is on that, but I've heard it a couple of times.
Okay.
And you may hear it as well.
We've had this project does eliminate the both left in, left out from that east ingress egress at Toledo Memorial Park. The eliminating the left in adds considerably to our ability to queue traffic for the westbound Monroe to southbound Maroon traffic. And the left out from that area just is not a warranted turning movement. We will be aligning right now Maroon Road and the cemetery exit do not line up. They're offset. And so if you're trying to turn left out of the main cemetery exit, you're not protected. It's just a green light, and you don't have a protected turn. We will be aligning those up so that they are straight across from each other, and if you're turning left, you will have a protected left coming out of the cemetery now. So we believe, and ODOT believes, that we will actually be largely improving that by providing that protected left turn. You won't be taking your life into your own hands. I've almost seen several accidents there. We've had several accidents there. And it will improve that situation immensely. We will also get the controls that we're going to be putting in with the project will also make it so that if they do have a large funeral where they have a large amount of cars that are coming out and trying to make that left turn lane, that green light will hold. It will sense that traffic, and it will hold until they've been able to clear that traffic. So we believe the project that we're making will actually improve the situation. We've met down there with both city personnel and ODOT personnel. I don't know if we were successful in trying to convince the Toledo Memorial Park personnel, but that is how the project will be moving forward.
Toledo Memorial Park is a wonderful partner for our community in many activities. They sponsor activities, they host several activities, and we do not want to turn a cold shoulder to them. But at the same time, it is a very dangerous intersection. It's in the top six, and they've chosen it as their number one project. We have to meet the state's goals to use those funds. And I can assure you, as a business owner nearby, when there is an accident at that intersection and blocks access to Monroe Street to get across US 23, it is gridlocked. There is no place to go. It's horrible. So we need to straighten out that intersection.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to take an opportunity. Also part of this project, the left in and left out at the Kroger entrance on Haroon Road is being eliminated. That will become a right in, right out as part of this project as well.
That personally will affect my traffic patterns. But I can understand why. That's a dangerous thing to pull across there, no doubt about it. All right. Back to you, Mr. Richardson, proposed ordinance 60, 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce ordinance 60, 2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting the proposal of DGL Consulting Engineers to provide professional engineering services for the Monroe Street at Haroon Road Improvement Project, appropriating funds therefore in the amount of $276,373, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 60, 2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 60, 2019.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 60, 2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And ordinance 60, 2019 is approved. Moving on to the second page of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 10. Thank you very much for your attendance. I told you it was a long agenda. We are up to the US 23 Monroe Street Interchange Improvement Project. This is a vital artery through our city, and it needs to be improved in every way. We're working on Alexis. We're working on the intersections east of 23. We're working on the intersections west of 23. But the intersection with the expressway is the heart of the issue. Mr. Aller and his staff have come up with a proposal of grant fund requests to help alleviate the city's obligation in a $28 million construction program where the city's portion would be only $2.8 million if this works out. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The sheet that's before you, listed as 10A, is the result of almost 2 months, about a month and a half, of work with ODOT, Team ACOG, County, and of course ourselves. We have put together what we believe to be a strong financing package that will include some strong grant applications that are moving forward. Some of these programs, we are being aggressive, and we will be requesting funds that will be in the larger portion of what some of these programs have awarded in the past. We believe that the scores that we've put together are strong scores and strong applications. ODOT has done a lot of work with us to try to improve our chances as much as possible on these projects. And they are actually working through the TRAC program, which you don't see listed on here, to gauge the possibility of us receiving some funds through TRAC funding if some of these applications don't end up being successful. TRAC funding is typically saved for very large projects. $28 million sounds big enough to me, but in ODOT's world, it's just another project. But they will be making that pitch during their meetings with the other districts. Some of the applications that we have before you tonight as part of this project is about a $2.8 million project with congestion mitigation and air quality program, about $5.5 million through the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, and approximately $443,000 through the Transportation Alternatives Program. That program is being made available because, if you recall, part of the bridge deck replacement, that project is going to actually include, we're shifting all of the sidewalk to one side of the bridge. There will not be any sidewalk on the south side of the bridge, but all of the sidewalk will be on the north side and will be wide enough to qualify as a multi-use path. So that opens up the available funding of the Transportation Alternative Program. So those kinds of changes, and that was why We believe that the pedestrian and bike traffic is handled better on one side of the bridge, but it also, we knew that that would open us up to the availability of transportation alternative funds, so that was part of the reason as well. Other programs that we'll be applying for in the future, it's just their funding rounds don't come up until later times. A highway safety improvement program will be applied for in April. That will be about a $9.8 million request that we request from that program. District 2 has actually agreed to allocate a little over $5 million of their district allocation towards this project. Part of that is due to the fact that the northbound exit bridge was slated for replacement in 2022, I believe. And with this project, they would just hold that project off and utilize those funds towards the entire project. The remainder of that is they're going to contribute all construction engineering and testing and things of that nature towards the project, which takes that off the, typically that is something that the city would have to bear, but they've agreed to those costs as well. And then a small amount, but nonetheless, every penny helps. The urban paving program will go towards the pavement that's on Monroe Street and Alexis Road as part of this program, as those are state highways. And that's a smaller amount of $250,000. We also would anticipate when the time comes that we would apply for OPWC funds, just under $1 million for that program. And that would leave the city with an amount of approximately $2.8 million that we would be required to contribute towards a $28 million project. Several of these programs, including OPWC, several of the other ODOT programs require either a 10 or 20% match, but the programs that require a 20% match, we can actually use the OPWC funds as that match. So our minimum contribution towards the project is 10%, and that's based on this funding that we've laid out, we will be at that 10% figure. All of these applications will be contingent upon the others being successful. So if we would not be successful with one of these programs, it's not like all of a sudden we have to figure out where to come up with that money. Once we know where we stand with all of the grant applications, then we'll make a decision, move forward with the project or pull the project. We don't get penalized if we don't move forward with the project because we're putting the contingency right into the grant application. And that's pretty common on the larger projects with municipalities. So that's where we are at. This is slated, tentatively slated as a 2025 project. And we have received word from ODOT. This has been verified, that if we are successful with this project and being able to move forward with it, that ODOT plans to delay the bridge deck replacement that's right now scheduled for 2021. They would delay that and do it with this project in 2025. So we'll do that all together rather than two separate projects. So
when will we have, when will we know whether we got the grant approvals we need? How long is that grant application? It's not this year, it's some of it's next year and years beyond?
Yes, this we're actually looking at 24 and 25 for this funding round.
Yeah, okay.
Years 2024 and 25. We will know for the three that we are applying now, we'll know in November if we're successful for the three that we're addressing tonight.
Okay.
And then when we make application in April for the safety program, we'll know probably about July for that program. So July of next year, we'll have a very good idea on where we stand with funding.
Kevin, given the amounts of money we're working with here and the time frames, construction costs change over time, and most of the time, they don't probably go down with labor costs and the like. So if there are variations or increases in these anticipated construction costs. I'm assuming you've got something already built in to the calculations or estimates to create the 28 million bucks. But if we're off and it comes in and the overall project comes in at 29.5 and there's an extra $1.5 million, who's on the hook for the extra 1.5 million?
That would likely be the city. If there are some underrun monies available in some of these programs, we might be able to grab onto that. For instance, you know, a couple years, Toledo and Ottawa Hills decided not to do Secor Road, so that freed up, you know, I think like $9 million. So that money would then be available. We might be able to scoop up some of that. But as a rule, typically it's the municipality. There is a substantial amount of inflation built into this estimate. It's not to say that it won't come in more, but there is a substantial amount.
And I'm going to flip it on its head. If it comes in at 26 million bucks and not 28 million bucks, does our 2.8 go down by $2 million?
It goes down by the 10%.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, we have to be in for the 10%.
So it's heads I win, tails you lose.
Yes.
Okay. Just verifying that.
Yep.
Your note that this chart also, these three grants that we are asking permission to apply for tonight are all administered through TEMACOG. Our service department is utilizing their contacts with TEMACOG. Kevin has sat, and now the deputy director sits on the TEMACOG Transportation Council. And obviously, I have lots of contact down there as well. David Gideon and Tim Brown are working with us on these grants as well. This is a very complicated program to put together, and we're getting all the help available, all the help that we could ever ask for from TEMACOG and ODOT and the county engineer.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Capellini, I interrupted you.
That's all right. You get to go first. You're the mayor. So, I was just going to say, like, all of this is completely amazing, and I appreciate, like, all of your work, like, being able to coordinate this, and I almost feel bad asking this question, but is there a pedestrian element in this? Like, theoretically, if you wanted to get to the end of the river trail and walk to McNeely Park, could you do that? Like, right now, it's really dicey. You can't?
Yes. Okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, you'll be, like, a pedestrian will be able to, like, cross this, and because right now it's really bad if you try to walk that way.
We're not sure how we're going to handle that because we've got the, you know, if you come up the river trail, do we make the crossing right there or do we take people to the west a little bit and then get them across? But yes.
So it's on your radar.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We have three resolutions for this tonight. And Mr. Richardson, I'm going to give you relief and call upon the other three members of the Streets Committee to read these three. We'll start with Mr. Hanum to read proposed resolution 9-2019 for the Transportation Alternatives Grant Program.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 9-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Transportation Alternatives Grant Program managed by the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments Transportation Improvement Program and to execute contracts as required, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Moved and seconded that resolution number 9-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to note that we're doing a lot of road and street construction here. And just for those of you that are here, we didn't just start this today. We've been working on these projects and budgets and five-year projections and 10 and longer-term projections through our streets committee for two or three years back. So it sounds like we're doing a lot right now, but but behind it, there's a lot of committee work that has been going on for a long time. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 9-2019 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It is moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 9-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 9-2019 is approved. We haven't heard from Mr. Schroyer about this, and he's been quite calm through this whole process as we work through this staff. I have challenged him to, even though $2.8 million is only 10% of the total project, it's a lot of our budget.
Yeah.
And I've asked Mr. Schroyer to look into whether or not we should be trying to set aside some funds in a few years before this hits, or we do not want to sell bonds for a project of $2.8 million, but we can't just come up with it that year. So the finance department is looking at different possibilities to help fund this. The passage of the gasoline tax is great help to give us some other options to get this done. But we can't stop all capital improvements in the city in the year 2025. There are other things to be done. All right, moving on to agenda item 10D, proposed resolution 10-2019, Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce resolution number 10-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program managed by the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments Transportation Improvement Program and to execute contracts as required, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that resolution number 10-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 10-2019.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 10-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 10-2019 is approved. Agenda item 10E is the last of these first three. This is for the CMAQ or congestion mitigation air quality funds. I would like to remind council that this is the same program where we have received funding to do the improvements at Monroe Street and Silica in 2023.
Yes,
Mr. So that one's coming up too. We have proposed resolution 11-2019. Final member of the Streets Committee, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 11-2019. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. A resolution authorizing the mayor and director of finance to prepare and submit an application to participate in the congestion mitigation and air quality grant program managed by the Toledo Metropolitan Area Council of Governments Transportation Improvement Program and to execute contracts as required, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that resolution number 11-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move final passage of resolution number 11-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 11-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 11-2019 is approved. That is really the start of big business for our city. Thank you for your assistance, and thank you to the service department. Moving on to agenda item 11, this is an annexation acceptance for the property over behind the Kroger store on Sylvania Avenue. First off, Mrs. Brining, give us a description.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a property owned by Ryan Wamsher, and when the initial Farmbrook annexation was accepted back in 2006, there was one parcel as part of a rectangle behind the Kroger property that was remained in the township. Mr. Wamsher acquired it and wants to develop it, so he requested that it be annexed. We had the hearing back in January and that was approved, so now we just need to, this is the last procedural step before it is officially in the city.
So I would recommend its approval.
We have ordinance.
Yeah, question. The M2 zoning that's attached to this is what, mixed use?
No, that's actually industrial.
Industrial.
It's one of our industrial. We have to bring it into the city. Whatever comparable zoning it currently is in the township is currently zoned industrial in the township. I do anticipate, and we have been in discussions with Mr. Wamsher, that he will be coming to plan commission in the council first.
Multifamily.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance number 61-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting for annexation to the city of Sylvania, Ohio, the territory described in annexation petition number 2018-6, for which James E. Moan is the agent and is hereinafter described, providing for the interim zoning of said property, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 61-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 61-2019 as an emergency measure.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 61-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 61-2019 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 12. This is to enter an agreement with the Lucas County Commissioners for Regional Addiction Diversion Program. Mrs. Brining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This has been a program that the Sylvania Municipal Court has utilized since 2015. It's cost $13,000 a year and is paid for out of the court's indigent fund. And the judge has requested that he be allowed to continue to use that those services. He feels that they are important to the court, and I would recommend its approval.
Okay, if there's no questions, we'll go to Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 62-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement for the regional addiction diversion program on behalf of the city of Sylvania, Ohio, with the board of Lucas County Commissioners for the provision of court addiction diversion services through the Lucas County Court of Common Pleas Work Release Court Addiction Diversion Program to Sylvania Municipal Court, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It is moved and seconded that ordinance number 62-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Final passage.
Sorry, Mayor. I would move final passage of ordinance number 62-2019.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 62-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 62-2019 is approved. Agenda item 13 is a report back from the Planning Commission concerning the change for utility and ingress egress easements at the south end of Colonial Court. The address is listed as Zero Colonial Court, and I've had questions about that zero as well, but that number is consistently on all the paperwork. I don't think we're going to change it at this point. But I bet you when there's a house put there, that'll get a different number. But that's where it's at. You can see in your council packets that the mayors or the members of the Planning Commission recommended to approve this change, but it does go to a public hearing. City Council has already set the public hearing date for August 19th at 7 p.m. You've scheduled two meetings at that time. I don't expect this one to be controversial. There's no way to extend Colonial Court farther to the south, so it is appropriate to end it this way.
What do we own the property, right?
I don't think we own it, but we have put a blocking easement at the south end. It was probably put there by the original developer, so somebody couldn't use his road without paying for the access to it. Would that be right, Mr. Aller?
Yeah, the anti-vehicular easements are typically put in there to control what development happens in that area.
So people couldn't, if they were going to extend that, they'd have to pay the developer for the cost of development. Got it. Okay.
All right. so no action required on this one. You do have two meetings scheduled at that time, and we don't expect this to be controversial, but you never know. Public notices will be sent out to the adjacent property owners. What's planned, what is proposed by the owner, will be above the quality or the size of what's in the neighborhood now. It's certainly not a detriment. Moving on to agenda item 14, we have a report from the service director about purchase of a new dump truck body and snow and ice plow package to put on the truck chassis that's purchased separately. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the truck chassis is available. It's actually up 3 months ahead of schedule, which is very rare for dump truck bodies. They're typically 3 months behind schedule. But the chassis is ready to be delivered, and we plan to deliver it to Henderson for the dump body and the snow and ice package that we put on all of our dump trucks. The package that they put together is basically the same package that we have on all of the other trucks. Will include the brine system, salt system, all of that equipment. Their proposed cost for that is $77,533. This expense was included in our capital improvement program and will be taken out of the capital fund. The truck, the chassis and the truck did come in. I believe we had about $156,000 budgeted, and I believe we're at, with total cost, I believe we're at about $157,500. So we are slightly over on this amount. Our other capital projects have come in well below. We're still well within budget. I would recommend approval of this purchase.
All right, we have ordinance number 63-2019 to authorize this purchase. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will introduce ordinance number 63-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of Henderson Products, Inc. for the provision of a new dump truck body and snow and ice plow package for the Division of Streets, Department of Public Service, appropriating $77,533, therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 63-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 63-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 63-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 63-2019 is approved. Agenda item 15 is a continuing item on our agendas. Mrs. Brining, any update?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have an update. I was able to speak with Mr. Fondren last week, and he has finally begun working more closely with Lewandowski. There was some miscommunication, I think, on both of their parts on as to what he was exactly looking for. So he just asked that he have until September 15th, and at that point, if he isn't able to provide you what you've requested and what you need, then he will just ask that his application be tabled.
Is the law department comfortable with this delay?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
Any questions for the law director? Okay, moving into agenda item 16, we have four different committee reports to be made, starting with the safety committee meeting held on June 24th. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The safety committee met on the 24th of June. The meeting was called to order at 7 p.m. for the potential discussion of proposed ordinance 44-2019 regarding the drug testing of minors in attendance. Were committee members, myself, Mr. Hayne, Mr. Lukey, and Mrs. Westfall. Other council members in attendance were Mrs. Husband. No members of the administrative staff were in attendance. And Julie Hoffman, Sylvania School Board member, was also in attendance and was in the meeting. Mr. Hayneman, during that, immediately prior to the meeting, introduced a modification to the proposed ordinance, which modified the violation from a first-degree misdemeanor to a minor misdemeanor. Is that correct, Mr. Hanem?
That's what we discussed, yes.
Yes, and I believe Mrs. Brenning submitted that to all the members of council. Mrs. Hoffman, during the meeting, spoke about Sylvania Schools' previously passed drug testing policy and some potential modifications. The district has the potential amendments to the policy proposed, and they point to address and raised concerns by members of our council. Amendments as of this point have not passed. The school board had an initial first reading on clarifying the policy regarding the district's dress code to avoid the potential for a student being required to disrobe. And in addition to that, the district also, Ms. Hoffman, also committed the district will be considering changes so that an oral swab would be used for any student who was unable to produce a urine sample. The school board is planning on discussing that at this Wednesday evening's meeting. It was introduced, all those changes were introduced at the last meeting, and according to Ms. Hoffman, she does not anticipate that there would be any difficulty with passage. Ms. Hoffman also indicated the district would be willing to revisit the policy further if additional items of concern are raised from the general public or parents. And we as a committee thanked Ms. Hoffman and the district for considering our modifications. Questions ensued about the policy and the timing of the implementation. Further discussion occurred about the 30-day advance notice to parents that's included in the ordinance that would be required under passage of 44-2019, and whether that's sufficient notice or modifications of that were necessary by the school board. Mr. Lutke mentioned that the board may want to increase efforts to communicate potentially controversial policy changes to the public more so in the future. Ultimately, Mr. Lutke made a motion to take the ordinance to council with a recommendation to vote against it. Mrs. Westfall seconded the motion. The motion carried 3-1 with Mr. Lutke, Mrs. Westfall, and Mr. Fry voting for the motion and Mr. Hanem voting against it. Committee adjourned the meeting at 7:48 p.m.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Fry? I instructed the clerk to bring the copies of what we believe to be the latest version of this ordinance for council's consideration. Mr. Hanem, you'll need to confirm that we do have the right version. Again, this is the unusual, this is very much the exception. The law director did not prepare this ordinance, so we need to look to you, Mr. Hanem, that we have the right one.
Yeah, I think the only amendment was the one in this one.
Okay, we have previously had two readings on this. It was in the safety committee's report to bring this back. The next step would be a third reading and a vote. You agree with that, Mr. Fry?
I do, Mr. Mayor. I do have one question for Mrs. Brining, if I might, prior to the third reading of the ordinance. With the amendment that occurred in the committee, is this now an amended ordinance?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure I've got the language correct. Thank you. I would like to introduce amended ordinance number 44-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Amending the codified ordinances of Sylvania 1979 is amended by adding section 537.21 parental rights relating to drug testing minors. And that's it. There's no emergency because right. This is the third reading.
Following the third reading of this ordinance, we call a vote on this ordinance. I believe it's going to be a split vote, so I would like to have the clerk call the roll.
Mr. Mayor, the initial vote is to, just for clarification for myself, to agree to read it just by title only. Is that correct?
No.
So it's just, so this, because
I
it's
think
the
we
third
did
reading.
At the first reading.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
Does the law director agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. We had to do that at the first reading or it wouldn't have been a reading.
Right. So then I'm moving for.
Is there anyone comfortable with that as well?
Oh, yeah, I'm comfortable.
Then my motion is for final passage.
That is.
My motion needs to be for final passage.
It is for passage, yeah.
For passage of ordinance.
Not as an emergency, it's just for passage of amended ordinance 44, 2019.
So then, Mrs. Brenney, do I need to reread this into the record for passage?
No.
Okay.
That's what you just did.
Yep.
Good enough.
You're good.
This is an unusual thing to have three readings and then have.
And that's why I'm just making sure that we have everything put together.
And again, because it came out of committee on a split vote, I'm assuming a split vote tonight, so that's why I've asked the clerk to call the roll.
Ready? Mrs. Capellini?
No.
Mr. Frye?
No.
Mr. Hanem?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
No.
Mr. Lukey?
No.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
No.
The vote is two votes for, five against, so ordinance 44, 2019 fails to be amended, or fails to be accepted. Thank you for your work on this policy, this change. We will now move, any additional items from the Safety Committee to report at this time?
Nothing beyond that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to agenda item 16B, which is a report of the Zoning Committee meeting held on July 8th. Mr. Hanem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a Annexation Zoning Committee meeting on July 8th. At 8 in the morning to address minimum parking requirements and attendance were I was in attendance as chair along with committee members Katie Capellini, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, and Mary Westfall was also present. Others present included Keith Webb, Kevin Aller, and Leslie Brining. Keith Webb is a this guy knows a lot about bike parking and bicycling. The discussion surrounded the idea of introducing greater flexibility into our zoning code regarding the number of parking spots required in accordance with any development. Generally, the parking requirements are enforced at this stage of the plan submittal for the specific site. And we discussed creating an option when the plan was submitted to have the developer present a rationale for the parking that they were including in the site development plan. But that the existing rules would remain as a default. So if they didn't have an idea about parking, they could default to our existing rules. And then we had a significant discussion about including bicycle parking as a requirement in the Sylvania Code. We noted that it was a requirement in the Toledo Code. And as well as in Ann Arbor, and that those might, that the Ann Arbor and Toledo parking requirements may be potential models. What we decided at the end of the meeting was there was really no action item other than to plan to continue to work with Mr. Aller and Ms. Brining to develop an amendment to Sylvania Code Ordinance 1157.05 to include the bike parking requirement and to include the default requirement and the option to present a different plan. And we adjourned at 8:56. So the next step is really for me to get with Kevin and Leslie and see if we can't come up with something for further consideration by the Annexation and Zoning Committee.
The administration has tried to show some flexibility in these requirements already, but to put them into the code is the right thing to do. The township still has much larger parking requirements in the city. In the city of Tulio, I used to have an architect's office on the same block as Franklin Park Mall, and the acres and acres of parking that are still there are never filled, even the week before Christmas, never filled. So it's good to be taking a look at these and making a rational change to the code. Thank you. Now on to agenda item 16C for the committee of the whole meeting held July 11th concerning Heritage Center funding. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The committee of the whole meeting held July 11th, 2019 was at 8 a.m. here in council chambers. Present myself, Mary Westfall, and council members Katie Capellini, Mark Fry, Doug Hanum, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, Patrick Richardson, from administration Bill Sanford, Toby Schroyer, and Mayor Stow. John Hussman was also here in attendance. And then from Heritage Sylvania, representatives Andy Erbscorn, who's the executive director there, Tom Blank, the president of the board, and Jim Bogle, the treasurer of the board. The goal of this meeting was really informational only, with no action expected. Council members were invited to submit questions in advance so that the board members could be in a position to respond to the points that were of greatest interest and concern to council members. The Heritage Sylvania Board President Tom Blank introduced the presentation, Jim Vogel spoke to the financials, and then Andy Erbscorn spoke to the programming. Heritage Sylvania has been in place only for 6 months. It was a merge of the Heritage Historical Village and the Lathrop House. Not coming up with the right name. Friends of the Lathrop House. And it's primarily volunteer-driven with one full-time employee, heavily focused in children's programming from around the area, Sylvania, as well as Perrysburg, Maumee, and other outlying communities. The executive director spoke to the membership development and to fundraising and to the issues surrounding the challenges with the buildings and the costs associated with maintaining those buildings. Ultimately, Tom Blank shared that it is difficult to envision a time when Heritage Sylvania could be totally self-sustaining. Council did ask for a vision and strategic plan for the future, including a plan for the Lathrop House as well. Mr. Blank committed to having something to council members before the budget process. However, he did feel that it wasn't realistic to put a full plan in place, so he said there would be some detail, but we could anticipate a more detailed plan to follow. And they wanted to have another meeting to share that plan and that vision when it is ready. Mrs. Capellini encouraged the community, encouraged them to get community input with suggestions, with the suggestion of an online survey and perhaps even putting a notice in water bills, and that meeting adjourned at 9:10. Any other feedback from council members with regard to that meeting? Okay, that's my report.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 16D, a report of the committee of the whole held this evening prior to the council meeting to discuss the new city logo. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, this evening, a committee of the whole meeting, July 15th, 2019, discussing the city logo began at 7 o'clock. Present myself, Mary Westfall, Katie Capellini, Mark Fry, Doug Hanum, Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, and Patrick Richardson. From administration, Mayor Stow, Leslie Brining, Sharon Booker, and Bill Sanford, and then Danny Fuller, the owner of Fuller Art House, and the woman who's been working on the design for a new logo, of course, was present. After introducing the meeting, Mary Westfall invited Danny Fuller to share her thoughts on the next step. Mrs. Fuller shared a more developed oak leaf design. She did share with us that she looked at the big tree out front and that it is a bur oak. And she learned that bur oaks in particular carry a reputation of being strong standalone trees. They're considered mighty, majestic, massive, and strong, and full of forward movement. So she felt like it was a really good element to stay focused on the oak leaf. The group generally liked what she presented. Danny Fuller is to send additional colors and then complete a concept for the flag. And then additionally, she's committed to put together a complete style guide for proper usage of all of the elements. She was asked to try the logo with a lowercase c in the City of Trees area, and people liked the script generally, but hoped that there would be a way to fill it in so that it was more of a complete letter graphic versus something that looks like a distressed letter graphic. Mrs. Cappellini moved that we meet on the logo for further discussion on Monday, August 19th at 7 p.m., and Mr. Richardson seconded that, and the motion carried. The meeting adjourned at 7:25. Anything else from other council members? And then that's my report, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Any additional committee reports to be made at this time? Moving on to agenda item 17, any committee referrals to be made at this time? I'm sorry, the law department says we need to have a motion to schedule that committee of the whole meeting on the 19th.
I apologize, absolutely. I move that we schedule a committee of the whole meeting for Monday, August 19th at 7 p.m.
Second.
Moved and seconded to schedule that committee of the whole meeting to discuss the logo on August 19th, 7 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And that meeting will be posted. All right. Agenda item 17. I didn't hear about any committee referrals, so let's move on to added agenda item. I believe an update on consolidated 911 dispatch services. I will talk a little, but we may want to defer to the service director or the safety director or the chief of police. I can report to you that the mayors met down at the 911 annex building about 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure I can come up with the date quickly, but we had seven of the nine mayors represented. There are nine small cities and villages that will go together to make one of the five votes on the 911 committee, three votes of which are necessary to go to consolidated 911. As a result of that meeting, the county made changes to their proposal, and it's, I don't know how many versions we've had, probably 10 or more changes. I believe that's the latest one that we forwarded to you shortly after that meeting, and it incorporated my request or my requirement that if a COG was going to be established, a council of governments, that elected officials had to have oversight onto that. And the way the county had it written was that it was the fire chiefs and the police chiefs that would be responsible for setting the budgets and for approving labor contracts, and I was very uncomfortable with that. And the county representatives present immediately said, oh, yes, we agree with that, and they did incorporate it into the writing, and they incorporated what I said. So that's the latest that we have on that. The process is slowing down with the county, perhaps because of the election, or perhaps because it is not a simple issue. It is can be looked at least two or three different ways. It can be a, let's look at the facts and how this has worked in other communities. The police chief of Maumee and the Maumee mayor, Rich Carr, are very much saying it hasn't worked in other communities. They don't want to see power go to this centralized committee. The committee or the COG will not be controlled by the county. It will be controlled by each individual that makes up each political subdivision will meet in an annual meeting to approve the budget and to approve any labor contracts. But some of the five votes, I think, have come into question, particularly Sylvania Townships. I think they were banking on Sylvania Township to approve this, and they were projecting about $900,000 in savings for Sylvania Township, and I have heard secondhand that Sylvania Township's representative, which we think will be Mr. Mahoney, is saying he will vote against it. I think that has the county back on their heels at the moment. City of Toledo has one of the votes. Lucas County has one of the votes. The remaining townships as an aggregate have the fourth vote, and the remaining small cities and villages have as an aggregate have the remaining fifth vote. The mayors have met since that meeting with the county to discuss it further. I was nominated and asked to take on that position, which I held from past years, and I declined to do that. I'm working on water, continue to work on water, and thought I did not want to try to manage both issues. Mayor Atkinson, the mayor of White House, volunteered for that position. He made his position clear that he is pro consolidation. He is actually a member of the Lucas County Auxiliary Deputies. He's an officer, and I believe he's a captain in that. He did not hide that affiliation at all. He was voted or recommended for that position, but the mayors don't elect that position. That the votes to appoint that representative will be made by the bodies, either the village councils or the city councils. And in the subsequent meeting, Mayor Carr objected to Mr. Atkinson's position and said, well, what if he doesn't get 5 votes out of the 9? And I said, well, why don't we set it up so that if you are in favor of consolidation, you vote for Mayor Atkinson. If you are not in favor of consolidation, you vote for Mayor Carr. And that's where it sits right now. The time pressure is off. The county will not meet again or will not call the meeting of the 911 committee until their, quote, early September. Sylvania Township, who was going to have a public hearing on this, has delayed it until, I believe, it's August 22nd. It's late August, whatever the date is. And it just doesn't seem to be any particular action on it at the moment. There will probably be further changes to the proposal that comes out. I have requested specifically case studies about other communities where this is a success. I told you that you can look at it different ways. One is the facts. The other is it's an emotional issue. People could lose their jobs. Well, technically, nobody will lose their jobs. But the people that work in our dispatch center would not work in our dispatch center anymore. They would go downtown, and the numbers would be reduced over time by attrition before any savings were realized. So they would not, our dispatchers who work in this environment would instead be shifted to a larger environment downtown where it could be far busier. This is not a subsidy program for the city of Toledo. The proposals are based on the number of calls. As long as Toledo continues to have a high number of calls, they'll continue to pay for those calls. They do show some savings, but it's not a significant savings on their budget. City of Sylvania's had projections of savings, I don't know, $600,000, and it keeps coming down as we challenge some of the numbers. And even that's not accurate, because we will want to maintain, in my opinion, a 24/7 presence in this police station. I cannot imagine having the doors locked at night and somebody comes to the police station and there's a button on the wall that says to call a police officer, push this button, and you call them on the radio. I don't think that's appropriate. We also get a lot of calls, non-emergency calls, or I'm locked out of my house, or I'm scared, or something like that, that I don't think should go downtown. They're not emergency business. Now, I think I've said all I should. We need to hear from the professionals over here, either our safety director or the chief of police, who I asked months ago, we first saw this program right after the first of the year, to come back to me with their recommendation. The city of Sylvania and they have not settled on one side of this issue. There are pros and there are cons. And there are some people against it, and there's some people for it. You should be aware that our retired chief dispatcher is very against this issue. Retiring Deputy Chief Fralick is on the other side. He put out an email saying how much in favor he is of consolidated dispatch. And I ran into him today, and he renewed that position with me, that he has no doubts that it's where we should go in the future and it'll result in much better fire dispatching in his mind. So there are two sides of this issue that still require more study, but remember, we have one vote out of nine for one seat out of five on the 911 committee. However, City of Sylvania does have a bully pulpit role that we can play. The other mayors were looking to me for guidance, and I still haven't come down on one side of the role. The people who work for the city haven't given me a clear reason which way to go. I have gut feelings that the long run, the best thing is to do is to have consolidated dispatch. That is not a forerunner to having a consolidated police department. But I also like local control. We provide better services in the City of Sylvania than most subdivisions do. And we need to have somebody in this office who knows our street, knows our people, and knows how to handle our issues right here. So I don't have to decide yet, and I'm telling that to my fellow mayors. Mayor Whitehouse called me up last week and talked for over an hour trying to get out of me which way we should go. I don't know. We're still studying it. Gentlemen, I've said an awful lot. You ought to state your positions or what your fears or hopes for it are. Is this what you wanted, Mr. Hayden?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have lots of questions, but yeah. I think the mayor stated that, stated it pretty well. I think there are a lot of elements to this. The hometown feel, the hometown control, if you will. How will future calls be handled? How does that impact the safety of the community? And that for me, that's the primary focus, is how will it affect the safety of John Q. Public that makes a phone call? And that's really what it comes down for myself. And trying to determine what that is, and reaching out to the communities that have done a consolidation, and what they've seen in their call times and things of that nature. Part of the equation for us is, right now we have six dispatchers in our dispatch center. The lowest number that any other dispatch center has is 11. We are extremely tight in that area. There are times where we only have one person in that room. Vacations, holidays, what have you, that it's very difficult to run a dispatch center with the number of employees that we currently have.
But there are problems with our.
On the flip side, if those services were to go downtown, that enables us to have that civilian staff do some things that we're currently having to have our officers do. And it takes them off the road. If we can reassign those duties, have the civilian staff do that in here, that puts our officers back on the road where we'd like to have them. We'd like to have them out in the community rather than doing some of the legwork and paperwork, if you will, in here. So there are a lot of pros and cons to this that we're trying to weigh. All of those things come into play, but the primary focus, the primary responsibility that we have is the safety. And does that get compromised in any way if this were to occur? And that's what we're really trying to find. Myself trying to fine tune and see if I'm comfortable that I can answer that with a no. Because if there's no compromise in the safety, then there are benefits to us to do something. If there are compromises in the safety, then we have to really have to step back and see if this is a good idea for us.
I misread it.
And that's well stated. You know, the biggest difference between us, personally, I'd like to keep things the way they are. We have a very, very good dispatch staff. Dispatch is usually a difficult section of a police department. And I can tell you many stories about other jurisdictions have struggled with their dispatch centers. Ours has always been very well run, and how we do it with six people for a 24/7 operation, I really don't know. I mean, we have very committed people who will, change their personal plans to cover for vacations, that sort of thing. And we provide more training hours than most of the jurisdictions in Lucas County and throughout the state. So that being said, I am very proud of the people that work there and would really like to see things stay the same. But the fact is, we are in a much different circumstance than Oregon or Sylvania Township or Maumee, and the fact that they have, you know, built out these dispatch centers that are quite robust and have twice the staff that we do. And if this doesn't happen, that's something we're going to really have to look at. You know, what's the future of our capacity with the infrastructure that we have in the city that we have to service, two high schools, hospital, college with on-campus housing, the courts here in the city. Those all require services, and at any given time, from my perspective, we should be able to handle more than one incident in the city. And with one person sometimes dispatching, I don't know that we can always do that effectively. So we are in a much different circumstance than all of these other communities. Maumee's been very outspoken. I can see their situation where they've built out of their capacity, and they feel like their community is set. We are not in that exact same circumstance. So the biggest impacts we'll notice are if someone calls the police department, they'll get a menu. There won't be someone here to answer the phone at all times. And if it's for police services, that call has to be directed downtown. You know, it can't really be answered here locally because we won't be dispatching anymore. So after you go through the menu, then you can talk to, you know, a records clerk or, you know, someone on the property or some of the administration. So that would be a huge change for our residents. Because typically they can call, you know, the station and be transferred. You know, the dispatcher can immediately talk to the officer on the street. Sometimes they can be talking to the complainant on the phone and dispatching at the same time, you know, giving that information in real time. In a combined center like that, you'll have a call taker who will screen your call and take that information, transfer it over a dispatcher to a dispatcher, and then that dispatcher will put out the information. So could there be a little bit of a time delay? Yes, but the difference will be in a combined situation, there will be multiple call takers and multiple dispatchers, whereas sometimes we have one. So it's a complicated issue. The perceived safety or the perceived quickness of responding to a call, there's a lot of variables. But our small town feel of being able to call and talk directly to a dispatcher who's talking to directly to an officer, we would lose that perception or that level of service, if you will.
Clarification on something you said, when only one person in there, right now, is it possible that somebody would call 911 and get a busy signal?
They could. It rings, it continues to ring, and then it does, some of the calls will roll over to Lucas County 911, but if they're busy,
yeah,
it could go. The multiple calls for one, and again, that's my concern, is if we had, let's say, a three-car accident on the expressway and then a problem at one of the high schools, could we, and theoretically, if you think about the level of complexity that the city has grown to over the last 40 years, I think our manpower has been about the same for about 40 years. It's quite possible.
So it would be this, right now, it's the same person that's answering calls to the non-emergency number?
Yes, anything that people calling for a water problem after hours, anything, any call to the city after hours, that's where it goes.
Including 911.
Right.
And how often is it the case that there's one person there?
A majority of the time. We schedule two on day shift and two on afternoon shift, but again, there's no overflow. We have Chief Lafferty works about a day a month or so. We hire him part time as a subcontractor. Mm-hmm. But if someone's sick or takes vacation or comp time, and most of our employees never leave, so they have quite a bit of vacation, that sort of thing. So
why haven't we taken care of that situation to this point in time?
As far as manpower,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mr. Mayor, in terms of the, you said a couple of things that I didn't understand, one of which was that council's going to have to make a decision on this vote.
You need to elect a representative to the 9/11 board.
Right. And I understand that that this has been pushed back away. So I'm assuming this is something we won't have to consider in August. Do you, or is that wrong?
I believe that's correct. Lucas County is saying that the 911 committee will not meet until early September, and we have a meeting earlier in September, on September the 3rd. That's the first Tuesday. I think we can certainly wait till then, and we'll see if we have to do it then.
I guess my concern is that we've already, council's gotten some emails, and some of us have been otherwise approached, mostly by folks who have been pretty vehemently opposed to this. Before we vote on this, I'd like to give the public an opportunity to come to a meeting and talk to us about that. We could do that in a, I suppose we could do that in a safety committee meeting, or we could do that in a committee of the whole, but we'll need enough lead time to do that. And I think you're going to be the guy that's going to know how much lead time we need. So I would just ask you to keep that in mind.
I will. There are good people, and there's good reasons on both sides of this issue. Any further questions from members of council? We will keep you updated on it. We were all surprised by the resolutions taken by the cities of Oregon and Maumee City Council's unanimously against it, especially over in Oregon, because this proposal is strongly supported by the police chief in Oregon and by their city administrator, Michael Beasley. And they still say that they're for it. Well, they've got to change their council's minds, but they were not voting with full knowledge. I don't have full knowledge yet. I haven't figured out all the pros and cons. Either way, you're going to lose something, and you're going to gain something.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things to follow up with Mr. Hanum, we've got this vote that ultimately council will need to make to appoint somebody to the five-member voting, correct? Then there's also the question of, as we become more fully informed of what outcome makes the most sense for our community, there's also the question of having the opportunity to educate the public and coordinating those events with everything that the county is doing. Seems to me is an important issue that we need to identify, and I don't know if the county really wants to get this thing moving again in September. Do we have enough time, or do we need to offer a meeting, or do you think it's just restarting in September and it's going to be kicked towards the end of the year?
I don't have a crystal ball that tells me that, but I do think we can meet August 19th, and I can get you up to date, and if we need to schedule a public hearing prior to our September 3rd meeting, we have time to do that still.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I can tell you that no small city or village have appointed or voted on who their representative to the committee should be. Waterville had, and they've rescinded that voice vote because they decided they weren't prepared to make that decision yet. I don't think White House has, even though it's their mayor. It hasn't been timely to do it yet.
Great. Thank you.
We've got 5 weeks until our next meeting in August. I will hopefully know more by then, but if water is any kind of an indication, it ain't moving very fast, especially in an election year. We'll see. All right. What we have left on the agenda is agenda item 19, which will be an executive session. Oh, excuse me, we do have added agenda item 18. I went right past that. Ordinance 65-2019. This is to accept the proposal of TT, Al Associates Toledo Testing Lab, for work at the old gas station tire store on Monroe Street. Mr. Sanford, are you still over there?
I am, Mayor, thank you.
You're getting lower and lower over there.
Again, you, as you mentioned, it's the proposal tonight that we're asking you for consideration is to administer the grant agreement that the city has with the Ohio Developmental Service Agencies. This is the $250,000 grant. The amount that for this proposal is $107,100, which is part of that grant, and the way the grant works, that once the service is submitted to the state and then the money is sent to the city, and then the city just disperses the money. So this is all these fees to clean up the site are covered by the grant, the expenses. And contingent on the city having a developmental agreement for the site with the property owner, and our plan is to have that agreement to you at our August council.
Can I just ask the process? So this grant is just to test. It's not to actually clean it up, right?
I'm sorry, Kate.
This grant is to do all the testing, right?
Yes, that's their part of it, but they're also going to administer the rest of the cleanup of, and that will include the demolition of the building and removal of the contaminated soil.
Let's say that different. Her question was, is the $250,000 grant enough to both test it and clean it up? And I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
And does this start? I mean, when will we see people out there doing something?
Well, they were actually there today doing some testing.
I mean, we need big movement, but.
Well, again, the key is until we have the agreement, which we will hopefully have in front of you to consider in the 19th. And then I think from what I'm told, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to get that taken down. So we're hopefully by this fall, we'll have that all
cleaned up. Okay, well, that's amazing.
I did have a meeting with Lydia Mihalik, the former mayor of Findlay and now head of the Department of Development. Mr. Sanford had worked with her, and I personally thanked her for interceding on this grant and gave her credit for it in front of 30 other mayors at a NOMA meeting, and she was very thankful for that recognition, and I'm pretty sure the grant is all going to move ahead. But once again, when you deal with the state, you got to do it on a personal level, even though you're not supposed to have to. She interceded for us, no doubt about it. So the first one is to accept this proposal of TTL, which is a prerequisite for getting the grant. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Hussman, I'm going to call this Building and Grounds, even though we don't own it.
Okay.
You've been silent tonight. We need your participation.
Okay. Well, I'm
certainly glad to participate. I would like to introduce ordinance number 65-2019. All members of council having previously received copies, I would like to read by title only. Accepting the proposal of TTL Associates, Inc. for the abandoned gas station cleanup grant program for the property located at 6511 Monroe Street, Sylvania, Ohio. Appropriating funds, therefore, in the amount of $107,100, waiving the second and third readings. Whoops, I jumped ahead on that. Waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's moved and seconded that ordinance number 65-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 65-2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 65-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 65-2019 is approved. Sorry this wasn't in your council packet, but it was a long agenda and this one got overlooked. That brings us to the end of our agenda, except for agenda item 19, which is the executive session solely for the purpose of possible purchase of real estate. Before we go to that, I would like to take a look at the informational items, particularly information item B. This is for the first half of the year. I've been watching this all year, and we are showing a positive increase in our income tax receipts, 7.2% through the first half of the year. We will watch it more. 0% increase is built into the budget, so this is very good news. We still do have some vacancies in town, but we are obviously watching the receipts. We take a look every now and then as anonymously as we can at where those receipts are coming from and make sure that they are sound, and right now they are. So that's for your information. It'll come into play more when we get into the budgeting part of the year. With that, I would like to have a motion to go into executive session, to committee of the whole executive session, for the sole discussion of the possible purchase of real estate.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capellini?
Yes.
Mr. Fry?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
Yes.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
The vote is 7-0 to go into executive session. That means that you can't stay in the room. You're going to have to leave. I know that you want to. You can wait in the lobby outside. There may be action taken by City Council following this executive session to perhaps purchase the property discussed. But at this time, Council will discuss this piece of property in private. We are open to sign your papers from executive session, committee of the whole. No items were discussed in the executive session except the potential purchase of a piece of property within the city limits. No action was taken during that executive session. However, now back in open session, we have an ordinance 64-2019 to consider to purchase the discussed piece of property. Is there a motion concerning ordinance 64-2019? They're looking at you, Sandy.
Buildings.
It's going to be buildings and grounds. This is grounds.
I've been waiting. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 64-2019. All members of council previously receiving copies. Just now, I would like to read by title only, authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to enter into an offer to purchase the property located at 5123 Haroon Road, Sylvania, Lucas County, Ohio, 43650, owned by Carol Van Tynen, for the amount of $220,000, providing funds for said purchase, authorizing the payment of the purchase price, waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's
make a motion to amend. We need to do that.
Why don't we fix the zip code first, if that's what you're going to do?
Oh. Did I read
it? Yeah, before
it
we'll hold that in abeyance,
oh,
but let's have a motion to amend.
Oh, I see.
That's why you couldn't read it right.
I make a motion to amend ordinance 64-2019 so the zip code reads 43560.
Like I said.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to amend the title of the ordinance to correct the zip code. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now on to the first motion, which is was there a second to Mrs. Hussman's motion to read
yes.
by title only?
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 64-2019 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance
of amended ordinance.
Amended ordinance 64-2019.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of amended ordinance 64-2019 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 64-2019 is approved. That brings us to the end of our agenda. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
It's moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next scheduled meeting 5 weeks from tonight on Monday, August 19th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for the long and productive meeting this evening.